In this episode, we discuss our recent drives in a Carrera, a Carrera T, and a Cayman T.
Brought to you by Nineworks.co.uk, the fastest growing online Porsche community, supported by the Nineworks Marketplace. Nineworks Radio is your dedicated Porsche and car podcast, hosted by Lee Sibley, Andy Brooks, and Max Newman. Nineworks Radio is carefully produced with special input from experts around the industry and powered by our valued members of the Nineworks Driven Not Hidden Collective.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Nineworks Radio, the 100% Porsche podcast with a little bit of other marks in there as well. Don't tell anyone else. Max Newman, joining us today. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. I think I'm giddy. I don't know why. It's even making me laugh.
Yeah. Hopefully that will continue. Andy as well, joining us as usual. How are you, mate?
Yo, I'm good. Thank you very much.
Wicked. Okay, then. Call it a bitzer episode, probably a little bit unfair, but there's lots going on, lots of different topics for us to cover this episode. Lots of stuff about what we've driven, because we've all driven quite a few bits and pieces recently. We've all been all over the place. We've had cars breaking down. So there's all sorts going on in the world of Nineworks Radio, I guess.
You just talk about yourself there.
Because yours working fine, is it?
Mine's working fine, isn't it?
Yeah, Christ, mine doesn't 30 break seconds down. In and already it's fluffing. Bloody hell.
It's wrong, actually. I have fixed it.
So you did have something wrong with it?
I have, yeah. The fuel pump relay kept giving me issues.
Did it?
It was the fuse. So, yeah, I finally
kept
got around
quiet?
To... Yeah, you know, get these things sorted, me.
So that was a fuse, was it?
Yeah, it's the fuse was always causing issues. So I put one of those new facet retrofit fuse boxes in, so that I've now got reliable fusing as such.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, all good.
Definitely kept that quiet. Always playing up. It's like, what? This car works on the button every time, didn't it?
But no, do you remember when we went to Festival of Speed last year? And my car wouldn't start.
I was
saying, "Oh, can you get your car out?" But I got it going.
Yes.
And then, do you also remember at Heritage Car Parts when we pulled up?
Yeah, and it wouldn't.
You
fire
went off to
again.
Get a cup of tea or something, and I couldn't start the car.
Yeah,
and that's been happening more and more regularly, and it's just down to that fuse and the fuel pump relay. But now
always
sorted.
Said that's a problem with those SCs. They just don't start. That's the plus. Yeah. That's why I haven't got one.
Worth tuppence, those cars.
Yeah, tuppence. Yes.
Yeah, they're rubbish. Rubbish.
all I want is for my car to start. I mean, that's all I ask.
What I would say is that sort of stuff I can relate to, Andy, is, you know, you a bit like your health, you know, you take it for granted. You only appreciate it when it's gone. And if you have a car where you're just getting it every morning and you turn it over and it starts, you know, you don't appreciate how lucky you are, to be honest.
Absolutely.
You know, not having that jeopardy there of thinking, oh my God, is this thing going to crank over or what? Yeah.
That really troubled me eventually with the 997, because when I first bought it, you know, it was my only car and I was using it often, you know, almost every day, if not every day. And I never realized that it had this issue where it just drained the battery in about 2 hours.
So they're really bad for that, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really bad. And I never noticed. And it was only when I met Mandy and, you know, then ended up buying that big Beamer wagon that we had. And so I was using other stuff as well, not the 997 so much. I just noticed, you know, and I got caught out so bad, like the thing's completely dead and you've got to plug an iPhone in just to try and give it a little bit of juice to pop the front to get the, you know, all of that nonsense. And I changed the battery and did all sorts of things with it. But in the end, you know, I just had to keep it on a trickle charger. And That's the way it is.
Yeah. Is that a real trick to plug in your iPhone?
Yeah, it did work
really
once, because it just, you know, although that's trying to take power from it to charge it up.
Yeah.
Because there was power in the iPhone, it just, you know, it put
bloody hell
a connection into the car just enough for me to get the bonnet release so I could put the jump leads on.
Top tip from Max Newman there.
So that did work once.
Not heard of that before.
But on other occasions, I was in the footwell, you know, pulling bits out and trying to get to that bit that you have to get to. Because on a 997, you can't go into the inner wheel arch, I don't think.
Yeah.
But anyway, I sold it instead, so I don't have to worry about it now.
Headache can come in. I'll pass it on.
Yeah, I've got a car that starts now. So it's
Ali Cusick, actually. So obviously, we just got back from this fantastic Irish road trip, which we'll talk about shortly. But there was a point where the whole kind of thesis of it, because it's going to be an article in T911 magazine, is exploring the Emerald Isle in an Irish green 911. And so we'd stopped off at this one part. Ali standing on the side of the road with his camera, snapper extraordinaire. And he said, right, Lee, I just want you to go up and down this road a couple of times. And this is kind of what happens for those that don't know. You might have to drive a road. To be fair with Ali, it will be literally once or twice maximum. Other photographers, you might have a couple of more goes. But just drive up and down this road a couple of times. I'll get some pictures of car in scenery. I said, oh, we might have a problem there, Ali. He said, why is that? I said, well, the car conked out about 2 minutes ago and I haven't managed to get it going since.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But then Ali, he came up with a fantastic concept and I'd really like us to do this, like the whole Driven Not Hidden community, because we've all got stories. So we need to choose a day and then let's just all upload onto social media fantastic pictures of our cars when they're broken down.
But you've got plenty of those.
I've got a gallery. Honestly, I've got my car has broken down in some spectacular venues. Do you know what I mean? So I think that would be quite a funny thing that we could all do, because look, these cars, it happens with all of them. We've all got these stories. So let's pick a day and upload a load of these cars, our cars, where they're broken down, but the picture's lovely.
What was the problem out in Ireland then?
So it was basically related to the problem when it broke down in France and Germany last year. So, well, I hope anyway, crank position sensor.
Yeah.
Right.
So I left it over winter. It was definitely like exacerbated by heat. So obviously over winter, that's kind of not been a problem.
Yeah. And I guess you were big, long journeys out on Ireland. So you were getting the car really hot.
It was, and that is the thing. And obviously, it's ambient temperature has started improving in the northern hemisphere, isn't it, the last couple of weeks? Lots of driving, lots of hard driving in that car. So the problem reared its head. It was booked in with the guys at Rightune anyway. It has been in at this point. So it just needed sorting. I hope that will be the issue fixed, but obviously it remains to be seen. Yeah, I have to say, like, I have... I've been very aware, because that car, as listeners will know, that's kind of my daily driver, that 996 Carrera, 26 years old now, it is starting to, I'm thinking out loud here, either the car is starting to feel old or I'm starting to feel that it's old and, you know, genuinely, like we were saying, you know, jumping in it every day and starting it up. I used to just think, let's go. Whereas now I'm thinking, oh, is it going to be okay today? Yeah. So there is a little bit of jeopardy in there. So we enjoy
it. I'm sure the new crank position sensor will give you that feeling back again.
I hope so. I do hope so, because it's kind of forcing conversations in my head of, should we get a daily to just kind of take the strain away, I guess. So I'm kind of, mentally exploring that at the moment. But, you know, plenty of people have daily driven 996s and plenty of people still do. But, 26 years old, I'm just thinking, it's starting to feel a bit like you are dailying a classic, and that has its perils and pitfalls, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does.
What have you boys been up to then the last week or so in Porsching?
Really boring. I've just been getting in my car, starting them up, and off I go.
No, and it's been working.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's not great for content.
It's not, I'm afraid. I've been quite enjoying it, though. I used the Boxster for work the other day on Monday. I did 100 miles in it. I had to go to the other side of the Cotswolds from me. So I thought, I used the Boxster, even though it wasn't a very nice day. But I had some really good blasts. You know, I was around Bybury sort of way at one point, and I got some clear bits of road. Well, I really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed it.
Lovely.
Nothing dramatic, I'm afraid.
No drama or jeopardy.
No. I mean, I'm touch wood, I don't want to bring any on by getting overconfident, but no, it's all good in the hood.
Good. I tapped to London last weekend. Was that last weekend?
Of course you did. You went to that Inner Circle thing, didn't you?
Yeah, that which was quite quiet. I hit that on a day when there was lots of other events around London, and M25 was screwed as well. So I think that sort of quietened the whole thing down. So there wasn't many cars there, but it was still nice. And it's got lots of opportunity, I'd say. Yeah. Pick a really nice sunny Sunday morning, and that place will be teeming with all sorts of great cars. Yeah. So I'd say, you know, if you're up in the area one Sunday morning and that's on, make a little beeline to it.
Owen.
Yeah, really cool. Met Owen, the guy that runs it. He's got a little Alfa Super, sort of little, you know, debumpered and lowered on alloys and everything, you know, the normal sort of Alfa thing. The little four-door one, which they look so cool. I really like those. Great to meet him. And then I went to Duke of London afterwards.
For the last cake.
Yeah.
At the factory.
At the factory, yeah, before it all gets knocked down.
Yeah.
Feels a bit sort of, I don't know. Momentous is not the word, is it? It's a bit sad, really, because, so many good memories of nipping up there and seeing different events. Great community that Merlin and the guys there have built. So
that's all carrying on down the road, though, isn't it?
It is. They're moving,
they going into a multi-story car park or something.
Yeah, just almost call it next door but one, I guess. It's just over the other side of the pub and a little bit further. There's a multi-story car park. I'm not sure if it's disused at the moment, or it's not a public car park, I don't think.
Right. Okay.
But they're taking the bottom two stories, I think, which is river frontage.
Yeah.
Onto the I think it's the canal there, isn't it, at Brentford?
Yeah.
And they've got that space, and then they're also occupying a couple of floors at the top as well. So whenever you see one of their photos of their cars they're trying to sell, that's at the top of that car park. So that will be an event space up there as well. So I think it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah. So how are they going to accommodate the other, like the Santa Maria Pizza folk and the natural wine people and those businesses that are occupying those little units within the factory?
I think they've got lots of little units around there. So the Ballymore company that is doing all of the regeneration of that area owns a lot of that area, and there's loads of little pockets of buildings and things. So they're kind of, I think it's quite organic. It moves around and...
Okay.
Yeah, all cool.
So the end of an era, a new
start
era.
The next new chapter. It was a great little event. Good to see lots of good people up there.
I was hoping to get out on Sunday. I've been a bit low key recently, probably fair to say, but I was gonna go to the Nürburgring RS meet at the Cotswold Barn.
Well, they got cancelled, didn't
on
they?
Sunday. So I managed to get that in. You know, I had a few hours that I thought I could just squeeze that in. I'm quite excited about that because there were so many of our gang going. And, because of the waterlogged car park there, they cancelled it. So I sort of backpedaled on that and gave the time back to the family, if you like. But then they did sort of reorganize it. I think they used the car park up at Broadway Tower. So some folk went to that, Simon went, and some of the other collective. And then some of the guys went to, where did they go?
Motor Hub?
Classic Motor Hub, that's right. Yeah. Went there as well, so everyone adapted. But it was a shame about that meet because I think that was going to be big.
Much rain.
While you guys were enunciating in the south, I'd ventured up north to Wigan. Fried Eggs and Friends, our Nine Works Fried Eggs and Friends. And I have to say, boys, you guys were missed as well. It was a good few people asking after you both. I did point out that you were back down south in the sun.
Yeah, sorry.
Probably walking around in your shorts and T-shirts while we were all in hat and scarves. Fantastic. I just want to say as well, like, a big thanks to Rob and the team at Shine On. We've actually got a little segment where we chat to Rob at the end. So we'll drop that in a minute. But really appreciate Rob opening his doors basically on a Sunday morning to allow all of us to descend on Wigan in this. It was a gritty little setting, actually. Like, I really enjoyed it. It's not the place you would ordinarily find like 50 or so Porsches or however many turned up on the day. So it's Fried Eggs and Friends, so it was not just 996, it was open to all, and really, really nice to engage with like a lot of different enthusiasts there who braved. The weather was okay in the end, but the forecast wasn't looking great. Yeah. And I think Wigan had a 10K running event on at the same time.
Oh, no.
Some roads.
You didn't do that in Orley.
It closed some roads, so there was just like a load of random Porsches driving around trying to work out where to go.
How to get places.
But it did work. If you want to kind of take a look at some of the cars there, we did a live on YouTube, which is on our Nineworks TV page. But again, like fantastic to meet a lot of DNHCers from Hoop North. Yeah, yeah. So fantastic. Thanks for bringing your car along and sharing your stories as well. I think it'd be prudent at this point, we'll just drop in a chat we had with a couple of minutes with Rob at Shine On at the end of the event.
Yeah, great. That did look really good, Lee. Some of the cars that were there, yes, you had a real great lineup of cars. I saw friend of the pod, Miles, was there in the 4-litre RS.
Yeah, Miles.
All that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was his wife brought along the 4-litre RS. So there were two of them there.
Nice.
And it was fantastic. The last time we'd spoken to Miles, we were standing at the Corkscrew.
Laguna Seca
Red Sport reunion on a sunny September day. It was a little bit different to Wigan in March.
From Monterey to Wigan.
But really, really cool. Yeah, Miles and some of his friends brought along some spectacular Stuttgart metal, actually.
Yeah,
and again, you know, I think that's just, it's exactly what this scene and community is all about. It's the brilliance of it, you know, a shonky old green 996 next to an RS 4-litre, next to a Mantai GT3, you know, there was absolutely all sorts there. And it's just a real social melting pot. And a couple of people I'd spoken to, actually, it was their first event, like full stop, coming along, testing the waters. Let's see what the crowd's like. I've just bought this Porsche, so let's see what the people are like behind them. And from what I saw, you know, positive vibes. So that to me is exactly what it's all about, being able to rock up, having a chat with enthusiasts and enjoying a morning away from the rest of life's pressures.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. All right. Well, look, we'll drop that chat in with Rob here.
Rob from Shine On here in Wigan. Welcome to Nineworks Radio, my friend.
Thank you, Lee.
Excellent. Yeah. So we are, we've just finished Fried Eggs and Friends here at Shine On.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us.
Loved it. Loved every second. A lot of organising, I'll not lie, but yeah, it's been a fantastic morning. I really, really enjoyed it. The cars that we've had, like we've just been speaking about, from the Boxers to the GT3 RSs, amazing. Something for everybody, and it's been superb. The weather was good to us as well, I think, generally.
It was.
When you organise something like this, you never know where it's going to go. But yeah, with yourself back in it, it's been great. Yeah, so thank you, really.
No, honestly, Rob, it's our pleasure to come along. So I think it's worth pointing out, because we love the human element to these stories. So you know, you and I kind of met via Instagram, really, as a fellow Wigan Athletic fan.
That's right. Yeah, well, leading up to I think it was lockdown, really, wasn't it?
And
through Shine On, I was looking through a little bit of inspiration, who to follow, where we could perhaps some car groups, perhaps. Been a bit nosy on your Instagram, leaking into it, and spotted that you followed Wigan Athletic, and obviously as a big Latix fan myself, wondered why, you know, the Porsche, you know, yourself was following Latix, but obviously we got in touch and it came from there.
Yeah.
So you know, and obviously with a friendship, and for me to have Nineworks here is massive. From a business point of view as well, and to have all those people through our doors, just seeing what we do and the cars that we work on as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a great day.
Well, as I said, it's our pleasure to come along, and it is a car podcast and not a football podcast. However, I do just want to have a quick shout out to Owen, who's in the Driven Not Hidden Collective. Owen's a Bolton fan, who, as we know, they get battered everywhere they go. But something that kind of struck me, you were talking about yesterday, was Shine On being 31 years, which is, that's incredible longevity for basically a family business, I guess, you know, independent, local to the town.
Yeah, definitely. We started 31 years ago as a young lad. I'd done a bit of valeting for different companies, and we decided that we'd have a go ourselves, and 31 years later we're still here. We've evolved over the years. I think you have to.
Mm-hmm.
From valeting, we were washing and hoovering taxis when we started for £5, but that was your bread and butter.
Yeah.
And then valeting, and then people, I think people, it's the trust, I think. You try and just be nice with people as well as doing a good job, and I think, you know, that's what we try to do. and then it attracts other people, and then it snowballs. And yeah, and then obviously just before maybe the last 5 or 6 years, we've got more into detailing, ceramic coatings, and that does attract the really, really nice stuff generally. Yeah, so they're nice to work on. Yeah.
Well, I think from a customer point of view, it's reassuring to know that, you know, you've got a lovely 996. So there's some, you know, empathy there. You know, these are people's pride and joy, and you're entrusted with kind of being part of that maintenance story.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, like I say, we talked about it. The different Porsches, not just the Porsches, all the cars, but we you know, the Porsches are, you know, it's something close to me. I do love the Porsches, and when we get them, but we get like we're sat in front of, you know, this GT3 RS that immaculate, but like we've talked about, you know, the guys Boxster or the GT3 RS or whatever it might be, to work on all of those cars is iconic for me. And when I'm doing the water end videos, when they're done, that's what you want. You want the customer to be made up with that, yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, look, again, thanks for opening your doors on a Sunday, allowing us to come along and
it's an absolute pleasure. I've really, really enjoyed it. Thanks, Lee. Yeah.
Nice. Superb, one. Yeah. Thank you, Robert. No, Shine On in Wigan. Thank you
very much. Thank you.
So that was Fried Eggs and Friends, Cars and Coffee at Wigan. Then spent the next couple of days touring through Ireland ahead of the Nine Works Driven Not Hidden Collective road trip later in the year. So we're doing a recce for that, which was, oh, guys, honestly, awesome. We have to go over there and explore those roads. Like, I'd love to go over there with you boys. I know you're not coming on the road trip later this year, but we must do it at some point, you know?
Yeah. It did look lovely. Beautiful pictures.
Some of the pictures, I was getting lots of FOMO.
It was honestly like a fantastic experience. I think, like, particularly for us, like petrol heads in the UK, we naturally think European road trip, let's go east, let's go to mainland Europe, you know, and rightly so, there's some spectacular roads, but the roads we know and those passes, they are oft traveled. So I think the big thing I learned is, you know, maybe head west instead, go over to Ireland. Obviously you've got a crossing, depending on where you go, it's around 4 hours.
What did you cross from, Liverpool?
So, yeah, so I was meant to cross from Fishguard into Ross Lair.
Okay.
But I got a text message from Stenaline the day before saying there's a high chance your crossing is going to be cancelled tomorrow due to adverse weather. So I called up the Stenaline call centre, said, I just need to get over there because obviously we had plans.
Yeah.
Can I travel tonight? And they said, if you can get to Holyhead, we can get you into Dublin, just transfer the booking over. That's no problem. So handy, really, considering I was near Wigan. So yeah, just popped along. I think it's the A5 goes along the top of Wales, isn't it? Then to Holyhead and over into Dublin. And I managed to get into Dublin for like the last 10 minutes of St. Patrick's Day, which was quite funny because there was like a load of drunk Irish people as I'm driving through Dublin trying to find this hotel, asking like if my car was in fancy dress. Because it's basically green and orange, so that was quite funny to contend with, to be honest. But yeah, like the start of a fantastic trip, so I'm really looking forward to sharing that with the DNHCers that are coming along in June. I have to say as well, like there's nothing more annoying. So I had a couple of messages, and I don't think they're part of the DNHC, so I'll share it here. It's just chances from the public, really, that are messaging on Instagram as the week's going on, saying, you know, can you give me your routes? Can you share your route
demanding
with me? And it's just like, all right then, pal, I'll tell you what, have this route on me. And I tell you what, while you're away, I'll pop round, I'll feed your cat, and I'll water your hanging baskets as well. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of nothing more irritating. So they were ignored. But yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait to share that with the DNHC. We went from Dublin, basically sort of down to like a happy medium in the middle of Ireland, and then back up to the north is a very top level. We met some fantastic people along the way, nothing to do with cars, just the Irish people are just absolutely fantastic people. Hospitality over there is first class.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely first class. I think the big difference, and I used to work in hospitality in my uni days, so I think I can attest to this, but my experience of hospitality generally in the UK, talking about generic pubs, restaurants, hotels, tend to be, you know, there's a lot of kids in there from, you know, they're at university, they're earning a bit of pocket money. In Ireland, you know, hospitality is a profession and a career. People have been doing it for 30, 40 years. And that's to the benefit of you as a customer and a consumer. You're just treated so well, and that's the standard. That's not, you know, that's not the exception. That is the rule. Mm-hmm. So absolutely outstanding hospitality, fantastic people, and brilliant roads. And again, you know, the big thing I would say about the Emerald Isle, that's the Republic and the North, is there's not a lot of people on those roads. So, you know, many, many things going for it. So if you haven't done an automotive adventure over to Ireland, I'd definitely, definitely recommend it. It was really nice to bump into two people from the collective as well. So there was Mark Sloan in the North. I want to give a massive shout out to Mark, you know, one of the kindest people I think I've ever met, really. Alongside James Chew in the Republic, that gave up some of their time to drive some spectacular roads with us. And I have to say, guys, you know, both of you, if you're ever finding yourself over this way, you've got a place to stay at my place. You know, I'd love to repay some of that kindness they showed me. We've got a bit of a chat. So James, very kindly, I jumped on him with the podcast mics and said, would you speak into this for 5 minutes and tell us about the beauty of Ireland as an automotive destination? And he said, yeah, sure. So we'll drop that in here if you don't mind.
Nice.
Cool. Okay. So it's the end of day two for me in Ireland, and I'm joined by a valued member of the DNHC. It's James.
Thank you very much, Lee. Good to be here.
How are you doing, Mr. Chu?
Yeah, no, all good. All good. Good to have you over. Parked beside you in the car park here. So so my 911's an esteemed company.
You're very kind, mate. You're very kind. It's nice to come to you for once, because every time we've met in person prior, you've come over to the UK. I know you enjoy going to Flat Six Show because it's on the same weekend as the F1 that you enjoy.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. No, it's been 2 years in a row now. So absolutely loved it. Loved the vibe of Flat Six. I think it absolutely just nailed it. When I first heard the guys on the pod talking about it, I think it was like in the January.
Yeah, it must have been early doors.
They were talking about the show they were planning.
Yeah.
Sean and the guys. And it just, yeah, I was like, that's it. I'm coming over for that. So I booked a few things around it and sort of made the trek. Actually booked the car in to get a few bits and pieces done in the UK when I was over there. So got a new steering wheel fitted and just sort of made the most of the trip. So.
And you went to Atelier's the back of Max's Donners and Ducktales recommendation.
It did. That was sensational. So that was last year. I have to say, I don't know, I think it was Bristol Pete made the same trip at some point, but it's Max isn't wrong. It's a serious kebab. Like, I consider myself a bit of a kebab aficionado. And to be fair, he's right. Like, we're going again this year. I think I told you, where after you saying on the that I had made the trip a couple of years and put all the effort in and wasn't complaining about the Formula One being on. We're going this year to the Formula One and bringing my wife and a couple of her friends. So I'm not making Flat Six. And I'm not going to make Atelier's either, by the sounds of it. I tried to book a hotel in Tame just so I could get close.
But
it was getting stupid money. So it's going to be a stretch to make it to Atelier's or Flat Six.
You'll have to tap Max up for any other culinary recommendations, yes. I would say. So, all right then, James, I want to just kind of touch base really on like Porsche car culture over here in Ireland. Picking up on the facts, particularly there, you said you had some bits booked in the UK when you went over there for your car. So I guess that's painting some of the picture. Is there a lot around here?
There is a bit. But like the steering wheel I got done. So I got it done by Royal Steering Wheels. I think somewhere near Uxbridge, and I just seen. I think it was actually. Was it one of James McGrath's videos, actually, Auto Amateur. Yeah. I don't know if he'd got his done, retrimmed there, or someone he was talking to on YouTube had got it done there. And it was just kind of, that's where I'd seen it. Like, there's trimmers here, but, you know, you're talking about a bit longer and probably a bit more money. There's definitely a car culture here, like we had in terms of cars and coffees and things like that. So there's one down the road from me every month. There's one up in Dundalk every month, sort of the first Sunday of every month. There's sort of big meets, and there'd be a fair few people from the Porsche Club who'd go there.
Yeah.
So like there is, like I'm a member of the Porsche Club here. There's a WhatsApp group. It's probably not the same level of crack, I would say, as the DNHC. I don't think anyone from the Porsche Club Ireland is actually in the this is going live on the actual pod. Shit, I'm fucked. Sorry, Andy, you're gonna have to bleep that. Anybody who's listening from the Porsche Club Ireland WhatsApp group is just as much fun as the DNHC WhatsApp group. I take it all back.
No.
Credit where it's due. You guys are on a good show on the DNHC WhatsApp group. But no, like there's a good few. Like there's guys who organize track days. So like there's the Mondello Park, I think you've been to before. It's like 3 or 4 track days there a year. There's one in Wales and Anglesey. The guys are just back from. There's another couple in I think up Kirkstown up north. So there's a good, like, and I really enjoy
that's
the track
a
stuff.
Track actually, isn't it?
Yeah, I've never I've never actually done that one. That one's on the list.
Yeah.
And then there's drives every month or so.
Okay.
So the Porsche Club really actually, in fairness, have built a good community.
Yeah.
Around the cars, but yeah, in terms of getting stuff done, we've got, you know, you've got good independence. You've obviously got the Porsche Centre Dublin and Belfast here as well. But I just found, like, particularly for something like the steering wheel, for example, it's nice to be able to go, right, that's going to be £250. I can turn up on the day, have it fitted in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Even the likes of Friends Green Porsche, for example, you can look at their service menu and say, right, I know that if I turn up, leave my car there for a day, they're going to fit that. It's going to be that amount of money. Whereas, you know, just expenses, things can rack up pretty quickly.
What you're saying resonates, James, because like in this community, you know, people will travel for quality.
Yeah.
You know, I drive for going to Rightune, I drive past loads of other specialists. It's nothing against those specialists. It's just that I trust the guys at Rightune with my car. Do you know what I mean? So you travel for it. It's not all about staying local. And of course, when people buy cars, they're happy to put a shift in and travel far and wide for the right examples. So, I mean, like just before we were chatting, I was looking at like the numbers for 2023 of Porsche customer deliveries. Of the 24,751 delivered last year to the UK and Ireland, 510 of them came to the Republic of Ireland.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, you know, I'd like to know where these cars are going, because traveling around for 2 days, I've seen one Taycan.
Yeah, and funny, actually, just before before I left, I was actually just interested to see what was for sale over here. And actually, of 212 Porsches for sale, 61 are Taycans.
Really?
61 are Cayennes. And there's about 28, 29 911s.
Okay.
And actually, a lot of those 911s are already sold. Like, they're dealers who've kind of left them up there because it brings the business back when people inquire. So there's a lot of Macan, Taycan. In the Porsche Club, to be fair, there's a handful of Taycans, but there's a lot of 911s, a lot of Boxers, a lot of 944s.
Okay.
Actually, there's a handful of 914s as well. Interestingly, actually, there's been a lot, comparatively, for what we would see, of GT3 RSs over here. So I'm talking 3 or 4 in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
But for the size of the country and the allocation, that's pretty serious.
Yeah.
And then you also have, there's a couple of Safaris floating around as well.
Okay.
So like there is, the Porsche Centre Dublin actually is getting some decent allocations and they're being driven. So like the Cars and Coffee that I go to down in Bray, just down the road from here, it's been a Sport Classic there. A couple of weeks ago, last time around, there was a Safari there.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a GT3 RS there, though, actually, the last time as well. So, like, and GT4 RSs as well. So, there's a good few.
Yeah,
you might be seeing them on the road that much, but in fairness to the guys who own them, they're out in Mondello with them when we're doing track days and things.
Yeah, they
so they're
around.
getting used.
It's great to hear, James, because the other side of the coin is, you know, your roads are spectacular. They are absolutely spectacular, and you've been instrumental, really. So the reason I'm here is we're wrecking a route for the Ireland road trip later this year. But you've been instrumental, James. I'd like that kind of known publicly, really, in sharing
happy
some gems of roads to go with my otherwise primitive knowledge of the area. You know, there's some beautiful roads that like hug the coastline, and then you come inland and you're like in the midst of mountain ranges, and just like the contrast of topography is like beautiful to just look at out the window of your car while you're driving. But then also the actual roads themselves, it's like someone's like just dropped a ribbon across, you know, across the topography of Ireland, really.
Yeah.
And even better, there's just nobody else on it. What it feels like anyway, you know,
comparison to,
you know, where I live is quite a congested part of the world. So you've got fantastic roads that are fairly empty. It's the perfect match.
No, look, we're very lucky. Like the thing is with the roads, like a lot of them actually, in fairness, are actually in decent nick as well.
There's
good services. You've got some great mountains and passes and things like that as well. And obviously we were looking, you know, we found a few for the route in a couple of months time. And like, in fairness, the guys in the Porsche Club, we kind of tend to have And I tried to do the sort of the Wicklow ones because a lot of them head north and west, which sort of you end up a couple of hours from home on a Sunday morning or Saturday morning, which isn't too popular with the wife. But yeah. Some of the routes we sort of looked at are the guys who live locally in those areas have found routes and stuck them up, and we've done them on a Saturday morning. You know, might have 15, 20 Porsches going somewhere, finishing up, having a coffee, having breakfast somewhere, and just catching up. So like that's, again, it's part of the scene, but like a lot of the scene within the Porsche Club here in Ireland is going out and driving, and particularly the track stuff. But actually the morning drives are lovely as well for finding the routes and taking advantage of the roads, particularly when there's less people on them early in the day.
Definitely. And you know, there's, from a road trip perspective, if anybody's considering it in the UK or mainland Europe, there's some wonderful kind of places to stop off as well if you don't want to kind of be as hardcore on the driving. So it's just a really good mix. I guess the other thing I've found is the speed limits are kind of, they're well suited to the road, if that makes sense. Like if you driving through Wales, for example, the Black Mountain roads, you know, there is not a dwelling for miles, and yet it's 40 mile an hour average speed cameras, and it's really killed that. The sad thing is there that it's killed that for communities, because all of us petrol heads and automotive enthusiasts that would normally go there and stay in a hotel, eat in restaurants, grab coffees, etc., well, they're all going to go elsewhere now, maybe here. So here, by kind of comparison, I feel like you can drive your car sensibly. And kind of what's the best way to describe it? You can drive the car sensibly and get a feel for the dynamics of the car, if that makes sense, you know. Yeah. So whoever's like, yeah, made the speed limits around here, I just think is a petrol head or has got it right. I don't know.
I think they're lazy, right? So, yeah. I think if they thought about it, they'd probably be lower. So most of them, in fairness, are what you're driving around probably is 50, 60 miles an hour. So it's 80 and 100 in most of them. Yeah. And I think we kind of just have this, if it's not a main road, we left it at 80 or 100. And some of them, even sometimes you're driving it and you're like, Jesus, I can't believe I'm getting away with this. You know, you're putting, it's a fairly tight, narrow road and you're pushing on at 80 kilometers an hour, and it's, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of our, hopefully that isn't going to change, that they are actually looking at some of the broader speed limits. Well, hopefully not, touch wood. But like they're reducing a lot of the towns, and like similar to Wales, they're reducing a lot of the towns to 30 kilometers an hour in certain areas. But so far so good. Touch wood on the main sort of the back roads, effectively, are all sort of either 50 or 60 or 80 or 100.
That's if you put that far more eloquently than I have, James. It's you're able to just enjoy the merits of the car without falling on the wrong side of legality. So it's utterly commendable, really. So, you know, just very jealous of the part of the world that you live in. I guess to sign off then, if anybody else is thinking of coming over here on a road trip with their Porsche, you know, have you any advice to offer?
Just go and look for some good routes, right? So roads, there's some. Obviously, we've looked at a few different ones. The West Coast, I think you kind of mentioned before, the West Coast, there's plenty of driving routes to do. But actually, the whole country has lovely back roads. So like the south, the east, all the way up to the north, Mourne Mountains, all the way up to Castle Troy. You can do your Game of Thrones tour up there as well. I'm sounding like I'm from the Irish Tourist Board now. But there's a huge range. You dive off the main roads anywhere and you're on a back road that's good fun. It doesn't take much to find it.
Excellent. Okay, James, some stellar advice to sign off. It's the end of a fun day, I guess. So we'll have a toast of our beer, say Slauncher, and then put the mics down. Cool, man. And if you'd like to hear more from James's dulcet tones, and he's definitely, I think some in the collective had pointed out, Max, James rivals you for easy listening. You know, so we did a separate thing, which is part, it's for our Works and Hero drivers. And it's, you guys will remember. Head over wheels. Max came up with a name and can't remember it.
Neither can you.
I always think it's Heaven on Wheels, but it's Head Over Wheels, which is a special series we're doing for, it will be made available to Hero and Works drivers, and it's basically getting to know our audience and the people in that community. James has got a really cool story. Andy, you've already interviewed Max as well to kick things off on that, so it's a cool little extra piece of content, really, that I think is going to drop every 2 weeks. Andy, you'd
dropping say? Every 2 weeks on a Wednesday evening. Yeah. That's the plan. Max is Max has got to do one for a couple of weeks yes. time. Yeah.
Nice. Bit of homework. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great to hear James's story. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Top guy. Top guy. That's kind of it from my point of view, really.
Also in Ireland, didn't you speak to somebody at...
Oh, yes, at OPC Belfast. Yeah. So, and that's definitely worth popping in. So, Northern Ireland has one Porsche dealership. It's OPC Belfast. It's actually one of the oldest in the GB network, believe it or not. They've cornered the market over there, haven't they, I guess. So it's a little bit different, really, compared to other OPCs in the UK. I have to say, boys, I really enjoyed going in there. You know, when you can just walk into a place and you get a good vibe.
Yeah.
You know, that place. Some OPCs, you walk in and you think, oh, a bit stuffy in here, isn't it? A bit quiet. And,
you feel very welcome.
Yeah. Or better, just I feel like I've got to tuck my shirt in to be in here and all this sort of stuff. Whereas that was like the place was fizzing, the atmosphere. And, everybody welcome in there. So loved it. It was a really, really good place. And Paul McConaughey, he's the after sales manager, been there for years and years and years, was kind enough to show Mark and I around and kindly sat down again with a microphone chucked in front of him to chat to you, dear listeners. So this is what Paul McConaughey had to say from OPC Belfast.
Paul McConaughey, after sales manager here at Porsche Centre Belfast. Thanks for your time, because it's the centre's closed now, so you're giving up your own time to talk to us.
Yeah, no problem at all. You're very welcome. Good to see you.
I'm so chuffed to take a look around the centre. It's a very unique centre, obviously, geographically and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's been great to have a look around.
Yeah, we've been around a long time. One of the longest established, sort of unchanged. When I say unchanged, I mean sort of board people, all the levels that go along with that. So we've been around, I think, 1972. I could be slightly wrong about that, but certainly very early days, certainly. Yeah. I want to say longer than I've been around, but possibly not.
Well, so this is it. So the centre's been around for a long time, but you've been here for a long time as well.
I have. I'm very proud to say that we're part of the Agnew Group. Should we stop that?
That won't really pick that up.
I'm a part of our sister company. We're now part of the Sittner organization and have been for like 12, 13 years, but the Agnew family have been the same all of that time. So we're a big company, with 1,100 people working the organization. I have worked actually in a Mercedes-Benz branch for somewhere around 10 years before that, and a little bit in between, but now I've been with Porsche 23 years. Yeah.
Okay, so. Fantastic. So like a rare slice of longevity, really.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, nowhere else to go. So,
You and I were talking away from the microphone, and we were talking about like the uniqueness for the centre. So, what challenges do you have, kind of geographically, and also, what advantages do you have, and compared to others from like the GB network?
Yeah, I think let's go with advantages. I think certainly being a little bit landlocked. I mean, there's only two Porsche centres in the island of Ireland, and the south of Ireland is run slightly differently, clearly, and Brexit and all those other things. So we do capture a lot of people, and I think that makes us work a little bit harder, because you just can't expect to get their respect all of the time. So, but one of your questions we said off camera before was, you felt that there's a little bit of a really nice vibe or culture coming in, and thank you for saying that. And you asked why, and I think it's probably down to the fact that we have such quite a lot of longevity of our staff, starting from our soon to retire CP, Carl Russell, who's been around for just about 50 years now, and there's quite a few of us now more than 20 years. I've got some staff of mine who have been here every bit as long as me. Got some really, really quality technicians. Some have been around more than 20 years as well, and those guys could go anywhere. Even in Northern Ireland, they could go anywhere, but they've chosen this brand to keep with it, and they're fiercely proud of it. And I think that's probably one of the real positives, is that once you get someone, you can keep them. I suppose some of the negatives are that we can't really pull from other things. Sort of if you're based in the Midlands, there's five or six dealers there, and in Scotland you do all that. You can't share tooling or resources or stuff like that. But if we're Northern Ireland, we're always. We can always work on our own. We've learned to be very self-sufficient in a lot of things that we do, and that works 90% of the time.
Yeah. There's a nice vibe, but again, when you're giving us the tour, I like the fact that when you walk through the door, the first thing you see is the coffee counter rather than reception.
That's a huge deal for us, and without going into it again, coffee culture is a massive deal for any organisation, and we have taken it incredibly seriously. And I say we, our whole organisation, for a long time, we have a relationship with a local coffee roastery, and it's a huge deal for us, and we choose choose to ensure that everybody gets a very personal experience. It's not a something where you go and feed yourself and have, I mean, you have whatever you want, but there's always somebody that'll look after you in quality coffee, and it's, and we get a lot of positives about that. And it does, it depending on the kind of news you have to deliver to some people, you know, coffee can help ease the burden a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I said to you off mic, and I think it's right to kind of say it on the podcast as well, that, you know, I hear many things in my job of many different Porsche dealerships, and actually Belfast is one of the very few that actually I only hear like really positive things about.
Well, even if that's not true, it's very kind of you to share. I really appreciate that. I think we do work incredibly hard to try and do that, I'd love to say that doesn't have any cost. It does have cost. You know, people are very invested in this, and the current circumstances around the world with how we're morphing into somewhat of an electrified marketplace hasn't come without its pitfalls. We've invested a huge amount of time. We've got really, really good folk who are very keen to move with whatever Porsche throws. You know, I mean, I deal with an awful lot of customers who are with us for a long time, and yeah, you do get those comments about, you know, oh, it's not, I can't, you have to have that, yeah, the visceral feeling of the petrol and the smell, and there's going to be a place for that. You know, the reality is, in the modern day and age, first of all, the new demographic of folk coming along, younger guys in university and stuff, they don't have the same relationships with cars, so you've got to move a little bit with that. You know, I mean, having been to some conferences where you can see London, where there's all these little cars parked up, people pay £25 and use it for the day. They don't have the same relationships with that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But I think people will always want quality stuff, and Porsche do it the best. And of course, I'm going to say that, but they do it the best. They make the best stuff that's out there. Their investment in R&D, the quality materials that they finish with. And even when things aren't right, that's still better than everyone else.
Yeah.
And I think certainly things like, you know, whenever people say to me, oh, but you must really, I mean, when you see where they're going with electric, I mean, is that the right thing? And I say, you know what? Everything they've done has been brilliant. Moving forward, they've invested so much stuff. A little bit of a personal story. You know, whenever Taycan was being released, I mean, it was coming. I'm still very excited about that. You know, you've seen what they did with Cayenne in 2003. They thought, what on earth are Porsche doing here? One of the most popular, one of the best decisions they ever made, just solidified the company. Taycan, again, everybody understood that, you know, if you know, Elon Musk can do it, and all these other car companies were kicking and squealing, trying to get off the ground. You know, Porsche thought we were going to do it the best.
Yeah,
and they absolutely
yeah.
did. And I remember, sadly, my mum had passed away just when Taycan was coming, just before COVID. Mm-hmm. And the rest of my team had a lovely trip out to Spain to drive the car for the first time. And I had chosen not to go for that reason. But one of the lovely things for me was I lived 12 miles away. My first drive was the normal commute. And for me, I was being a bit harder on the brand. I was saying, hey, let's see if this is a Porsche or not. Yeah, I can see where they've invested in things, but let's see, is this a Porsche or is it just a lot of technology put together? Within a mile on the way home, I was totally reassured, and have been ever since.
Well, this is the thing, like, from the conversation we're having, you know, it's very clear to see. I hope people can hear it as well at home. You are clearly like a massive Porsche enthusiast. You know, I think your longevity with the brand is obviously a testament to that as well. Could you describe for us, like, you know, and pardon my negligence for not knowing this, but, you know, could you describe what Porsche car culture is like in this corner of the UK?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have this thing, it might not be right, but, you know, having travelled up and down the UK with Porsche and around the world, I've been very blessed over the years to have been to some really fascinating places. But in the UK, I have this mental picture of what Northern Ireland's like, and it might not be right, but Northern Ireland has had a bit of a motorsport background. I mean, it's had from sort of Joey Dunlop in the motorcycling scene. And it's huge. The Northwest 200 is a massive deal over here still. There's a big rally fraternity here. We probably don't have the stuff like Carrera Cup. You know, we're going to go and have a look at Carrera Cup for the first time this year, and it's really quite exciting. But our background tends to be sort of motorsport in that way. And I think a lot of people in Northern Ireland, they're quite keen to see that there's success here. I know whenever I started, you know, when you were going across to some of the meetings, you know, maybe I was wrong, but you sort of think, you know, people think about Northern Ireland, this tiny little 1.5 million population, one centre, you know, how important can that be? And I was very fierce about that. I was always the first person with my hand up, first person stood at a meeting to write on the clipboard or whatever, you know, and I think people think about that in their cars here as well. You know, they want to get a really cool car. I mean, right now when we're chatting, there's people getting brand new Cayennes, and you know, it's really important to them, because in the high spots in Northern Ireland, people do get seen with the quality of their cars that do it. So what they're saying is, you know, we're really happy to be in some levels to be exposed as to how we're kind of representing Northern Ireland, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
in doing
yeah,
all
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
You know, you look around in the UK, you know, you see there's a lot of wealthy people running about in 27-year-old Volvo estates and have lots and lots of money, but the car's not that important to them. In Northern Ireland, it's really super important. And you know, Lee, when you're leaving today, if you take a look around at the next 25 cars you see in the road, it'll be hard to find one older than 5 years old.
Yeah.
We've had a very hard MOT in Northern Ireland, as I explained a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And people just like having something that's one of, as well as having their mortgage, paying for a car is really important to them, and having a quality car. And again, we have the toy shop here for the heavy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned that earlier, and I love that. I think it's a really great way to end the podcast is, you know, this place is a toy shop and you're just as enthusiastic about these toys here as the people coming through the door.
Well, how could you not be?
Yeah. But well, look, Paul, a testament to you. Thank you so much for your time. After hours again here at Porsche Centre Belfast. Thank you.
Not at all. Thank you very much indeed, Lee.
Cool.
Sweet. So that was all things Emerald Isle.
Yeah. What a trip. Look forward to seeing more info and, the results of that for June.
Yeah.
What a trip that's going to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Shall we discuss cars that, or shall we cross to Caffeine and Machine and a recent conversation we had there?
Yeah. While we were at Caffeine Machine, we sort of blitzed a few podcasts, didn't we, while we were in the room together, and we got discussing cars that we'd driven recently. I'd driven a Carrera T. You'd driven a...
I've driven a 992 Carrera.
Oh, yes, at the...
Oggo, which is cool.
Did you drive, Lee?
That was a Cayman T. We were both T-ing, but on different Porsche platforms. So, shall we head over to Caffeine and Machine and here's what we had to say.
So, we were talking the other day, Andy, when I had the red 991 Carrera T as the gem of the week.
Yeah.
And you had just been for a spin to satisfy a long-held curiosity.
I have, it's always felt that it was one that would be on the list, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But Simon Norman gave me the opportunity to drive his to sort of scratch that itch.
Uh-huh.
So I had a little drive of it yesterday.
Okay, so that's a 991 Carrera T manual.
Manual.
With the buckets.
With buckets.
918 buckets.
Yeah.
Is that a Litchfield jobby?
It's got Litchfield on it, yeah. Okay, so Sharkworks exhaust.
Oh, right, okay.
What else has it got on it? Yeah, it's got buckets.
Has it got rear axle steer?
Do you know what? I don't know.
Okay.
Not sure. I'll have to double check on that.
And the Litchfield job on that, because they go quite extreme on those cars, don't they? They put the bigger turbos. If they're getting big horsepower out of them, they put the bigger turbo back on, I think, don't they, from the GTS?
From the GTS. Yeah. It's GTS remap, obviously, because, power starts with a 5.
Yeah.
And manifolds as well. And okay. Jeremy Leach from the Collective.
Yeah.
I assume he's still in the Collective. Came on the Norway trip with us, and he's got a yellow Carrera T that's had the whole Litchfield job. Mm-hmm. And I distinctly remember from 8 days driving to Norway and back, when you were behind Jeremy, you could hear the turbo spooling away.
Oh, okay.
Really, really cool. And then
I remember Mike Shepherd's one doing that as well on the Wales trip last year.
Okay.
And that's pretty standard.
Pretty stock. Yeah, but this is like we're on the Autobahn, a few yards back, you can just hear these turbos spooling away and then the pop and crack of the exhaust.
Wow, okay.
Just orally fantastic package. Package.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It was proper mega quick.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want the Litchfield.
Okay.
If it was to be my car, I think do I want a car that is that quick? It was wet and greasy and I managed to get a little wiggle on here and there.
Because what is it stock? 380? 375? Something like that?
That's a question. It's 380. Oh, no, it's 370. 370. There we go. Yeah.
370. Okay.
A or B, it's C actually. It's 370. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you enjoyed it?
I felt so at home. And what the huge contrast to me was I'd driven that 992 GTS a few weeks ago.
Which
was a cab.
Yeah.
And
a big old barge by comparison. Carrera T being the last narrow body.
It felt massive
compared
to that T. The T just felt like it shrunk around you. It felt like an air-cooled car to me. There was no fat around me. And I was really surprised at that. I was kind of, people talking about the wide body stuff. Is it a real thing? Because I hadn't really experienced it for myself. Have I driven a 991 before? think I may have done. I can't
remember. 911R. He does this all the time, right? He drives like one car from one generation and it's always like blue chip collector grade. Fucking brilliant.
Yeah, I think he does it to wind me up. Yeah. I think he's in on purpose.
Just another day, isn't it, really, for Andy B?
But I think it was good to have
that. Yes, he's better, that's why.
Yeah, that's it. I forget about the other stuff. But driving those so... you know, not too long ago, so being able to really reference them and actually fully understand, you know, because you've said it many a time that the 991 narrow body stuff does feel so much smaller and than the 992, and it really does. Mm-hmm. I felt at home interior wise, everything felt fantastic. Loved the dials. You could see all the dials through the steering wheel, unlike the 992 we were having.
They're just totally
hidden behind the thumb pad bits there. You've got buttons for everything, and they're nice buttons to touch. The dash is nice to look at. Cup holders that are useful rather than that silly cup holder in the middle.
In the way,
There were so many things that I was looking around going, oh, yeah, that's good. And it just, I felt at home, really at home.
Talk to me about the gearbox.
Yes. So that was interesting, actually, because I was first... driving it, I was like, oh yeah, is it going to be a bit of a nightmare? But I didn't find it a nightmare at all. I actually couldn't get from fourth gear into seventh. I don't know if there is
there is
a lockout there
on the way up.
So I was like, okay, well, that's no dramas then, that's great, because I didn't realize it didn't have that. Or and then coming down the gearbox, I was like thinking about it, you know, when are you ever going to be in a situation where you need to change in gear from seventh to sixth in a rush? You're not. You've been on a motorway and then you're coming down into sixth and you're coming off the slip road. You're never going to be using seventh on an A road somewhere. So I really didn't see the problem. But I guess it's the T where the improvements happened on the seven speed?
No, it was the GTS for the... There have been incremental improvements along the way, but the first big one was Gen 1 GTS, 991.1 GTS improved. Yep. And then that was taken into the Gen 2 911s, of which the T is included. My thing was, and I think it still stands, is, you know, you're coming off the motorway, you're on a slip road, you're in seventh. Where there's so many gears, I wouldn't go seventh to sixth, I'd go seventh to fifth.
Yep.
And then that's where... it would throw me into third.
Okay.
And then that's where the lurchiness would come. You think, well, that feels unrefined. But then, of course, the other thing is we'll just go into sixth and then fourth, I guess, you know, and then up to third, you know, I don't know.
I didn't feel the handicap that I thought it was going to be.
Okay, yeah.
And I actually think that it makes one to six speed more the gears that you actually want to use. And the seventh is there, is that economy gear that
it's an overdrive, really.
They have to put in because it does it for the fuel economy and the emissions.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wasn't. It didn't hurt. Yeah. It didn't hurt me at all.
I mean, as you know, folks say that they want more involvement in their driving experience, don't they? So to think about that a little bit, or to get used to it, or to learn it, you know, is that not involvement?
Yeah.
I've only had that very little drive in James Good's car, and I look forward to his GTS. 991.2, and I did end up going, when I was going from sixth, I was worried about going into seventh, and I went to third, but I wasn't going very quickly and it didn't matter. But you know, that was the first 5 miles of driving the car.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm sure I'd get used to it.
Yeah, I still, if I was to buy one, I would still invent that seventh gear lockout, and I'd probably even change the gear knob to show any six speeds.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
And like probably drive the car the majority of the time never using the seventh speed, because you don't really need it, do you?
No, I guess not.
Yeah. And stick a sixer in there.
the other thing is, and this is where we've spoken in the past about, you know, when we take, because we're in the UK, right? So, you know, when you take these cars back to the fatherland.
That's
where they're made, and you've got the autobahns, you know, and that's where you'd stick it into seventh and slog it, wouldn't you, from, you know, Cologne to Hamburg, and it's not a problem, and you know,
and you'd probably get 32 to the gallon or something like that.
100%, and the rest, 100%, 100%. I can't remember now what Jeremy was doing MPG-wise in Norway, but again, bearing in mind that was a Litchfield Carrera T, so starts with a 5 on the power, and his MPG was like... good, you know, better than a you know, an old naturally aspirated 996 anyway. Right, do you know what I mean? So like, yeah, he was, and that's where you go, oh, this thing's brilliant. Yeah. This thing's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. So gearbox, yeah, we've done with that. Let's talk seats.
Yes.
So Simon's car's got buckets, palaver to get into, but once you're in it, amazing. And I would kind of, if a car came along and it had buckets in it, I'd take it. If it had sofas in it, I'd take it, because you've got an advantage either way. There's either, once you're in it, it's bloody lovely to sit in, though the sofas are probably lovely as well.
Yeah.
But the sofas are easier to get in, which would make it more of a viable daily. So I wouldn't be too fussed.
What about access to the rear? Is that a thing for you?
It depends what day of the week, Sam.
So they don't fold, they're fixed buckets.
The 918's a fixed bucket, but yeah. Because the folding back bucket did exist at 991.2. I know it doesn't at 992.
Could you get it in the T?
Is that a third option in the T?
I think these were fixed. I don't know.
You get the
recall.
918 bucket at the sofa, but do you get the folding?
I don't recall you do. Sure. Don't recall.
Yeah.
No,
so we had to put the seat back to kind of get in and out of the bucket. That's how tight it is when you're trying to get in with the side up. So the seat goes back, so that adds to a bit. And it's manual, so you never know if you're going back in the same position, I guess.
So it's
a bit of a faff if it was on a daily. So I would be an equal. It wouldn't be a
deal breaker either way. I guess.
What it does add, if you do get the 918 bucket and the GT2 RS side, you know, the lightweight glass, is it adds some real trick stuff into, you know, a relatively ordinary, normal series 911, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that's cool, isn't it?
If you get
those bits, especially if that's the way you want to use it as a fun car, not as a station car, that is cool.
Yeah.
That's, to me, is the modern day club sport. 3.2 Carrera Club Sport is an appropriately spec, some might say properly, but an appropriately spec Carrera T, because there's not a great deal of 991 Carrera Ts, because again, I think, you know, all of us, journalists included, I know we've said this before on the pod, you know, didn't quite get it when it first came out. And that's why you see this weird mixture of different Carrera Ts out there.
There's a load of
PDKs, rear axle, steer, glass roof, you know, and... The shame, I would say, is we've not really learned as a buying public with a 992. There's still a weird mix of that out there for 992. But a proper purist Carrera T, I think, is the natural successor to that club sport. It's so underrated and under the radar, you know.
Yeah, I was extremely impressed. Mm. I would definitely, if I was in the market for driving a daily Porsche, I'd be there with that. Really would.
Interesting and significant that it's turned your eye away from a spider in that spot.
That is true.
Garage,
yeah.
You know? That's serious stuff.
I guess if I wanted something that I could use on a more of a daily basis, then it would be the 911. If it was an addition to the garage in this total fantasy world that I'm living in at the moment, and it wanted to be a more of a Saturday or Sunday blaster than the spider.
That's your SC though, isn't it? You've already got the blaster.
Yeah, but it's
complicated, isn't it?
Oh, it's a complicated life.
I tell you, fantasy life is as complicated as real life.
It is.
Sometimes more so.
Yeah, 100%.
Screws of the melon.
I just love the fact that we've found a second car now that we can now term the triple threat that we all like.
Fancy.
You know, around the table here for the podcast, we got the spider and the Carrera T. It's probably not a conversation for today, but I wonder if eventually we can pad it out to like five cars. So when our wives have all dumped us because we're all we do is talk about Porsches all day, and we all go in at a lad pad with, you know, under garage parking, garage parking underneath the building. If we could have five cars where we just, you know, do a
plan Z them.
Yeah, yeah, 100%, 100%. And just do like the pool car insurance jobby, you know, and what do we have? We'd have a spider in there, we'd have a tea. You know?
Okay, what else could we have then? Come on.
Let's not get into this now. No, okay.
We'll have to find it out along the way.
All right. We'll keep that back in the back of our minds. There's the plan.
Let's find out. Yeah. We need more triple threats.
That's brilliant. So I'm the only one who hasn't driven a 991T yet, so I need to deal with that.
Yeah.
And I have to ask Alex and Greg at RPM if I can drive one of theirs just round the block, just at least to have a a little feel for it. Yeah, so I'll have to get onto that. But Andy's not the only one who's been having a bit of tea action.
Yeah. Bit of tea action. Yeah, mate. I love your segues, Max. Oh, mate, that's incredible. You're lost to television, you are, mate. Honestly, yeah. Yeah, so different end of that.
How was the McCann tea?
That's washing the air that day, mate. Cayman tea.
Yeah.
Cayman tea. And so we did a video with the guys at Harbour Car. So when we went there and had a look around for our podcast, obviously we're having a look around the showroom, and Max, you and I were sort of gravitating towards this Cayman tea in the corner. Like, this looks cool. And I said to Chris, you know, can we do something with it? Can we do a video test? You know, it's my way of basically having a test drive, isn't it? You know, and Chris said, yeah, come along, go for it. And I absolutely loved it. I fell for it in a big way. Yeah, kind of similar to what you were saying with the Carrera tea. Andy, you know, your eyes just open to this whole kind of new thing. And I think the biggest thing for me, and there is a video out if you've not seen it, kind of look on Lineworks TV, is there's a more of a, how can I put it, more of a feeling that a modern day Cayman, you know, 718 Cayman / Boxster really, but let's focus on the tin top, the Cayman, is the natural heir to the throne of the old school 911 in terms of footprint, but power to weight as well. And that 718T really fed into that. So power to weight, it's pretty similar. It's like power to weight to a 996.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 996 power to weight is 226 horsepower per ton. A 718 Cayman T is 222 horsepower per ton. Really not a lot in it.
Yeah.
Manual box. It has
six speed.
Yeah. 2 liter flat four banger in there, which has been kind of much maligned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even by myself in the past, but with in feeding into that concept of the T, pairing back and just rolling, ringing out what you've got, I think it's the perfect marriage. And I honestly, boys, I absolutely love that car.
Wow.
And you know, you look at it for 50 odd grand and you're going, so you've got that enough modernity in there for it to be a daily if you wanted it to be, but then, you know, Sunday slipping out early doors, you'd have so much fun in that. And a manual car, I know we want to do an episode on numbers, but there are 50 718 Cayman Ts in the UK, just 50.
Really?
You know, it was pretty much one, and it's not limited, right? It's just that's what it is. But it's pretty much one per dealership is how you got to look at it. And you go, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's cool. And you know.
So what was the spec on that car? Was it paired down like a...
Guards red.
Guards red, manual box. I'm not sure if you can get a PDK on a Cayman T, to be honest. I'm not sure. But yeah, like 718 seats.
Carbon buckets.
Yeah, so not 718, 918 seats. That's a different ball game, isn't it? Yeah, 918. Yeah, and this is where you go, look, for 50 grand, you can buy a manual 6-speed lightweight Porsche with 918 seats.
Yeah.
You go,
any funky
okay.
steering on it, or is that? I'm not sure that's an option.
Real axle steering on that.
This is a real sort of analog car, then.
Isn't it? Back to basics. I would say.
And even like most of the controls inside are very
well. And this
analog,
is it. So
they?
Because it's 718 architecture, you don't get like this overloading of screens that you would get in a 992 equivalent.
Yeah.
It's all reminds you a bit of the 991.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But again, weight wise, 1,350 kilos. The footprint is pretty much the same across the width. It's there's 7 mil in it between 718 and a 997.2. Okay. So the last, as many would say, of that line in the sand moment before the 911 took that step on. Yeah. So, it ticks all those boxes, really. And you know, yes, I think if I was to rock a GTS, for example, within that lineup, I would probably want the Natas 4-litre engine because it's a cracker.
Yeah.
But within that T concept, I think having the little engine that you can really ring out and smash through the gears on yourself.
It?
Yeah, no, it is. And it's you just go, oh, it's brilliant. You know, it is. It's fantastic. I loved that car. Yeah. Loved it. I think you would really enjoy it, Max.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, yeah. I had you were in my thoughts while I was driving it.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, I had that I had a 2-litre Cayman, albeit a PDK, just for 24 hours, didn't I, when my McCann was doing something at Porsche Center Silverstone. I can't remember. They gave me that green style edition. Mm-hmm. Came in, and that was a 2 litre car.
I bet you looked good in that. black wheels?
But no, that had black wheels.
Oh, did it? Okay,
yeah, polyethylene green with black wheels and decals.
Oh, not too
but,
bad.
But I really enjoyed it. You know, I loved the size of it. I felt really good in the car. And yeah, and that motor spun up a treat.
Yeah.
I think I need to drive one of these little four bangers.
I would say, you know, when I was inside and I was thinking about, you know, usual comments with, you know, the sound, and I thought it's not that bad. It's certainly not like a raucous affair inside. But I felt there was enough theatre to be satisfied. But if I'm being really honest, maybe I would probably look to an aftermarket solution to just unlock a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously we did some drive-by shots for the video, and I felt the car was quiet even in sport mode as it went past. But I mean, I don't know. Do you really care how it sounds like from the side of the road? If anything, if it's quieter, it's better. You're offending less people. Yeah, it's just, yeah. You know, again, the emotion comes from the driver's seat. That's the epicenter. Yeah. And I felt it was fine, you know.
Yeah.
So in terms of like, well, I called it Porsche's best kept sports car secret. And there's no hyperbole to that. That's not a clickbait thing. I genuinely think that's the case, because I haven't seen anyone, you know, come up to me all excited. I've put a deposit down on a 718T. It arrives in 4 weeks or whatever, you know.
What do you think the T gives you over the standard Cayman?
Over the 718?
Yeah, what are the extras?
You get bits thrown in like the Sport Chrono that you'd have to otherwise option. Okay. But I think like the crucial thing is the Sport PASM chassis that you can't spec on the base 718.
Yeah.
So a little bit more focus in that regard. And I mean, again, I'd love to try a 718, a base car, just to compare. But I thought, like, again, mid-engine layout, it's just such a wonderful neutral layout from the off, you know. But like the things I loved in that was like the weight of the steering. I don't know if that's changed from the base, I don't know, but like certainly like with the sport chassis, it was so wonderfully like poised and weighted, but it wasn't crashy or overriding. It just I feel it was a nice sharpness to it, but I don't have a base car to compare that to. But that comes with a ride height drop as well. And
okay, did it feel light on its toes?
Yeah, it did, to be honest.
Yeah, and there are other nice things, aren't there? I know that particular car had the 918 buckets, which would have cost a few quid on that.
Yeah.
Well, they cost a few quid on any car you put them in, don't they?
Yeah.
But even without those, it would have the upgraded Sport Plus seat. It has that nice T pinstripe. Mm-hmm. And I think has the fabric door pulls.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Again, so it's just adding a bit of GT. It's not adding a bit of GT.
Adding a little bit of extra theatre,
Alcantara steering wheel and you know, on the shifter, which, you know, doesn't make you go faster, but like it just adds,
it makes you feel good.
I just think it just elevates the theatre.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Carrera T, the Alcantara on the steering wheel and the gear.
Yeah. So yeah, honestly, like that's my thing. Yeah, and it was funny when Max, you and I were chatting to Chris at Harbour Cars. I mean, that car, it's done primitive miles as well. You know, I ticked it just into 1,900 miles. So it's baby.
A new car.
It is, yeah, it is. It's baby miles on the clock. And Chris said from a sales point of view, it's really difficult because, you know, it's a 718T, but that generation is known as the 718T, as the four banger anyway. So
in
the more generic classifieds, like Auto Trader, a Cayman T gets lost amongst other 718Ts because that's kind of colloquially how they're known. So unless you kind of spot the agate grey accents on like the mirror shells and the strip down the side, you wouldn't see it and go, ah, that's a T.
Right.
So it's quite difficult, really.
Why did they put that 718 thing in? It just muddies the water.
This is it. But
crazy marketing department.
I invite people to, like, honestly, if you're not au fait with the platform, or you're a skeptic of the platform, I'd say go and give that a try. If that car doesn't do it for you, then look, totally fair enough, you know. But I think particularly if you enjoy the older stuff, but you're curious about a modern Porsche, give it a go, 100%.
Yeah. Well, in that space, just keeping with Harbour Cars, you know, they're a great place to go because they've got some other stuff on that same platform. You know, they've got a 718 Boxster S, so that's the 2.5 litre. Engine, you know, super fast. It's a PDK, so it's the sort of opposite, you know, recipe of that platform from that T that they've got. So if you want to, you know, if you're interested, if you're intrigued, then, you know, that's another great car to have a look at. You know, speak to the guys at Harbour Cars and check it out.
Yeah, you've been driving something lately as well. What did you share on our little WhatsApp the other day?
On Monday, which was my birthday, I'd arranged
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'd arranged to redeem the prize that I won in the Porsche Club GB Cotswold Rally competition.
Yes.
Remember I said I'd won that competition.
Yeah.
And the prize was or I'd been awarded first place. There was some, you know, let's not go into that.
He brown enveloped it, didn't he? I'm joking.
It's sound worse than it is. Yeah. I actually came second, but the person who won, they wanted a different prize. So I got offered the first place prize, you know, anyway.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, but I was all over it.
Yeah.
Any excuse to go to the Experience Centre I'm into. So I thought, well, why don't I redeem it on my birthday? That's a nice thing to do.
Awesome.
So Monday morning, Mandy and I went along. She came along for the breakfast and the coffee and the hang. And I was sitting up there looking out the window. So the prize was there, the sort of entry level experience, which I think is great value. I spent my own money on it, where you get to choose Carrera, Cayman Boxster, Macan, maybe something else, maybe KN as well.
Yeah.
And I thought, actually, I really want to spend some time in a 911, because it's nearly a year that I haven't been a 911 owner.
Oh, of course, yeah. Now.
So I chose Carrera, and I was looking out the window at the assembled cars that were there, because you don't get to choose. Well, you probably would, Lee, but I don't get to choose. Yeah. So I'm just a punter, and I was looking out thinking, what am I going to get? And there was a 992 Targa 4S down there, and I thought, please don't let me have that one. that is not the vibe I'm looking for on this occasion. You know, I'm going to be not on track, but I'm going to be on a closed road environment. I just want to have some fun. So I was looking out there, and I went down with my instructor, and we had a 992 Carrera coupe, two-wheel drive, PDK with sport chrono, sports exhaust. You know, basically all the bits that you want to have fun, basically. Sharp blue, black wheels, unfortunately. but the other thing that's really made the day, because I had such a good time, was the instructor that I got, because they have a range of people that instruct those kind of things, Porsche and Mercedes and McLaren, all do those things. Sometimes you get an ex-copper and it feels a bit like you're on a driving test, but sometimes you get a racing driver instructor.
Didn't get Ben. Ben McLaughlin.
No, I got a guy called Ryan Peruti, who raced Formula Ford. He's now an ARDS instructor, if you want to get your racing license.
Quality.
So he is the kind of person that I wanted on that day, because I wanted to have a good time.
It fell in place, didn't it?
There had been loads of rain, like there has been, of course. So, but there was no rain whilst I was there, but we arrived and the place was sodden. So I had my 90 minutes. Ryan and I got in a real groove. You know, the skill of those people is to suss you out, isn't it? Understand what you want and what they think they can safely get out of you, I suppose.
Yeah.
And we hit it off, and I had such a good time in that car. It was bloody brilliant.
Fantastic.
Absolutely brilliant. I know it's not the same as driving on the road, because you're driving quickly, not flat out, but quickly. So the PDK was brilliant, because it meant I was just concentrating on placing the car. So that, you know, the wide front end of the 992 was brilliant. So the front end was so sharp. It was on PS4S tyres, so there was a familiarity there. And as the track was drying, you know, so it was slippery, but we could go faster and faster and faster and faster. And being a Carrera as well, so what's that, 375, 380 horsepower in a 992, drive the thing really hard and go quite fast, but not terrifyingly fast. It was just perfect. I had such a good time. Such a good time.
Nice.
Obviously, I came out, got straight on the classifieds thinking, oh, yeah, 992 Carrera, brilliant.
Did that affirm your, because you've often said that you've got a future vision of driving a 992. Did that confirm it for you as, you know, definitely a possible?
I didn't have to consider the size of the car at all.
Yes, because you were on a track.
You know, at Porsche Experience Centre, it's not racetrack wide. It's sort of, you know, AB road wide.
Yeah.
But you get to use both sides of the road. So you don't have to think about whether it's a wide car or not. So all of the benefits of the platform were to my advantage,
sure,
in terms of the handling, basically, in the front end. So I didn't have to think about that. The actual cabin architecture and all that sort of thing, again, I wasn't having to fiddle with things. I wasn't changing the radio station or using the sound nav or any of
popping
those things.
Coffee cup somewhere.
None of those things. All I was doing was driving the car.
Yeah.
So it was just fantastic. It was really, really fantastic. I loved it.
That's a great way to spend a birthday as well, mate.
Yeah. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it did make me think about the whole, you know, to drive a PDK car, the most modern, the best PDK is the most recent one, mm-hmm. always, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they make so many updates. And it was so good, the way it was popping through the gears and hanging on to gears. I guess that car gets quite driven quite hard anyway, so the brain has programmed itself to be quite aggressive.
Yeah. Did you see that as a big up from your 991 then?
Yes, I think I did. But I would never have driven my car that hard on the road. Okay, so yeah, whether my car would have got into that
into space, that groove, yeah.
Where it was clearly better than
the granddad groove.
You know, my 991 was a 2014 car.
Yeah.
And just the paddles were much nicer on this car. They felt better, they were bigger.
Yeah.
They were nicer to the touch, easier
less,
to use.
Less travel as well less to travel, them, you know.
Bigger length.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
more surface area to get hold of.
There were things that were better. But I think PDK, if you're going to drive on the track, is brilliant. On the road, I think maybe I'm still a manual guy, because I never drive like that. Maybe for about 5 minutes I might drive like that on the road, but yeah. Generally...
when you've got a bit of red mist going on.
I'm not driving that hard on the road.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I loved it. The car was great. Ryan was great. It was... Yeah. So thank you to Nick Taylor, Porsche Club GB, because that was his competition that I was entered in that I benefited from. I did message him and say thank you very much. Great. Loved it.
Super. Good. Absolutely cool. Super. Cool, we've all been busy then, all been at the wheel of something.
Yeah, it's been good.
Very cool.
Building our experiences.
Absolutely, yeah.
Amazing. And yeah, we very much hope that the early days at the huts, the new caffeine machine, are going well. I'm sure they are. We really enjoyed our visit on that soft launch day.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's brilliant, isn't it? What a great place. I loved it in there.
Yeah.
I think it's my favourite internal
agreed.
Location.
Yeah.
Got a really good feel inside. Really good.
I thought it was great. I'm looking forward to going back.
Yeah. Be back there soon.
Nice, nice, nice. So you may know, listening at home, that we do like a quarterly works giveaway for Works and Hero tiers of the Driven Not Hidden collective. A couple of weeks ago, Darren at RPM Technic got in contact and he said, I've got a fantastic prize for your members, obviously randomly drawn. And it was an invite to be a guest with RPM Technic and the Rush Members Club at Donington for a recent Porsche-only track day that they are involved with alongside RMA.
Yeah.
And Leighton that runs RMA. I have to say, I was gutted to miss that. The pictures looked absolutely fantastic. Really good spread of different cars that were there. And Lee Woodhams from the collective basically won the prize.
The winner!
Go up for the day, yeah, and have that kind of track experience, which included onboard laps with Tim Harvey, no less, and Mike Wilds as well.
Amazing. That's so brilliant.
Yeah, there was
a... I got in with Mike as well.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. So Lee went up with his brother-in-law, and I'm going to share some pictures on my social media Instagram page. So take a look, because there also includes an onboard fast lap with Tim Harvey, and I think Lee's riding passenger as well. So... Lee in his as his job works in like preparing historic race cars, so be interesting to chat to Lee actually when we next see him as to how that compares, you know, a 2 litre cup car with a 991.2 GT3 RS Manti kitted machine, you know.
Yeah.
It's a very different beast.
Yeah, what does Tim? I think Tim moved on to a 992 GT3, didn't he?
I think
with the Manti kit on it.
Yeah,
Gentian blue thing, mega. I bet that's a beast.
Yeah, I think so. It's a cracking prize. So Lee, it looks from the pictures, mate, like you had a top time. So we're glad you are enjoying that. We've also got our next Quarterly Works giveaway, which we've said previously, we are going to kind of step these up and do them monthly. So we'd like to hold ourselves to account on that, really. So the next one we're doing is in conjunction, really, with a podcast we did, I think it was last week or week before, an evening with Mike Wilds. So if you haven't heard Mike's story of very nearly 60 years in racing, covering F1, Group C, prototype racing, etc. Mike at the end, because he has a fantastic book out, Mike at the end signed one of the books that we bought, but Driven Not Hidden, signed it Mike Wilds, and we'd like to give that away to one of our Works or Hero drivers. So I assume, looking at the screen and what Andy is up to, I assume there's some steadfast admin going on in the background.
Getting his random generator set.
There is, yeah. I'm doing random generators.
I'm surprised you haven't built your own random generator yet, Andy, to be honest. That must be coming.
Could I have a number from one of you from
3 to 127.
76.
76. And our winner is Sergey Patrick Heselton, is the winner of Mike Wilde's book.
Fantastic. Absolutely
well
awesome.
Done, Sergey.
Yeah, and that's a cracking book. So yeah, we'll get that on the post to you, and we very much hope you enjoy.
Indeed. Enjoy that. It's a good one.
Yes, yeah. Shall we turn to the marketplace and get a gem of the week? Because there's been some lovely metal actually gone up live over the past couple of days, in particular on the Nonworks marketplace, like real, like beautiful stuff and a lot of variety in there as well. I do just also want to say, so there's another feature on the Nonworks website, which is the events page. So if you're planning your diary, or you just get to a Friday and you think, what's going on in Porsche circles this weekend? Have a look at that events page. It's not just Nonworks events there. It's absolutely anything and everything related to an event with a Porsche can go up there. And if you're running an event, you can upload that yourself as well. It's free of charge. We just want to spread the word as much as possible so that you can get out, enjoy your Porsche and meet other enthusiasts. So take a look at nineworks.co.uk/events for that. While you're there, you might like to head over to the marketplace and have a look at quality Porsche for sale, all backed by proper warranties, sold by reputable specialists only. And that's where Max spends a lot of his time diving through the cars and taking a look. And that's where the gem of the week comes from. So, Max, what have you got this week?
Well, I did have a plan, but I've been diverted. So, you know, as you say, that's the beauty of the marketplace and the stuff that's getting added all the time. So my plan was based on some chat we were having on the collective WhatsApp last week, and I ended up putting a poll up with some choices, asking people what they wanted to add next, because we have a lot of talk about, you know, about buying boots, and there are always themes that emerge, mainly from Andy pumping up the tyres on G-body cars. So I did a little poll, and actually 993 came out on the top of that from the options that I offered, although it was by no means a slam dunk. It garnered 28% of the vote. So in a first past the post, you know, it is the winner, but as a proportional representation, it was only marginally ahead of Spider, which got 25% of the vote. But I thought, you know, a win's a win. So I'll go into the marketplace and I'll find a 993. But then I was on the marketplace looking for 993, and I got distracted by this 964 C2 cab with less than 11,000 original miles on it, which has just popped up at RPM.
Oh yeah, the red one, Guard's red.
Guard's red, and it's you know, it's my dream spec, because it's got flag mirrors and D90s, which I just think is compulsory on a 964 Carrera that would have had them originally.
Agreed.
It's Guard's red. It's got black interior. It's manual. It's drop top for the spring as we're coming into it. 10,800 miles. Can you believe it? For a 1990 car. I mean, that's pretty fantastic, isn't it?
That's going to feel new, isn't it?
What a lovely car that would be. And I've sort of tuned into them because Simon Jessop came around my house the other day. He's got his 964 C4 cab in black, and he turned up at my house. I was looking out the window, and he looked like the coolest cat I'd ever seen. And I thought, that's bloody brilliant.
He did. I saw you share the video, and he did. He did look cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? So when I saw that come up, I thought, oh, I'll leave the 993s for this week. And let's look at that.
How's he loving the cab?
He's loving it.
Because he's got a coupe as well, isn't he, at the moment?
I haven't seen him driving the coupe since he got the cab, to be honest.
Really? So he's absolutely, it's bang on. He's
smoking about in it with the top down, having a great time.
Good.
So this one at RPM really looks lovely, doesn't it, Lee?
Well, I'm thinking it's a great proposition, because with the low mileage of it, but really you could stick 10,000 miles on that. And you'd be going some to stick 10,000 miles in a 964 cab, you know, but you could, however long you own that car, you could stick 10,000 miles on it. It's not really going to affect the value of it because it's so low anyway.
Yeah.
And again, where 964s, we've spoken before, they're getting rarer and rarer by the day. You're still more than likely going to get more than what you paid for it whenever you come to selling the thing. So to me, it's kind of a bit of a free car, really, whether you keep it for this summer or a couple of summers. I don't see how you can lose there, to be honest.
Wow. I can see the YouTube content coming. My new daily.
Imagine that.
Retire the 996. Yeah. I need daily 964 cab.
Something more reliable. As this might be a controversial opinion, changing the subject just very slightly and very quickly. But obviously, impact bumpers, they've been good news for the last 6 months, really, have kind of gone crazy. So, Andy, you know, some great work going on there, pal.
Pleasure all.
I might be an unpopular opinion. I think there's too much heat in that market at the moment. I think there's some cars that are up for big money that it's just too much. Andy, I don't know, you're probably not going to agree, mate. Do you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I just...
it's definitely hotted up.
It has hotted up, but like... Yeah, I just think there's too much heat in it. Simple as that. I think people have forgotten.
You've got to pick wisely.
Yeah.
There's good and there's some pretty bloody awful cars out there that haven't had the love over the years that are, probably their price tags are way too much. There's also an awful lot of good cars that do justify the price. So you just got to pick your car. That's the thing. Yeah. It's with everything, isn't it? It's always the way.
I think so. Yeah, there was a car that went up on the collective, you know, not naming where it's from, but it was for sale, freshly restored. And, just from the one picture I saw, there was very little on that car that actually was from the model year it was from. And you just, I don't know, for me as a purist, if you're restoring a car, it's kind of got to go back to how it looked at the time. That's the point. If not, you could just cobble that together.
Yeah.
In your own time, and it was up for huge money. And I thought, this is just because, you know, people forget these cars, they're not cheap to run, you know, if you need parts and whatnot, as I've said, I haven't got the facilities to go anywhere near an impact bumper because I just couldn't afford to run one.
Yeah.
But you know, the entry point for them is massive. And I would just encourage you, if you're at home and you're liking the look of them, and you should do because they are spectacular 911s, you know, just remember it's one of the 15 years of impact.
Can we
cars.
Stop this? Whoa. Anti-fluffing is not the game.
Jesus Christ.
Those 996s, they're shit as well.
Yeah, you need an anniversary, a 40th anniversary, guys, is the point. But they were available for 15 years. There's a lot of them, you know, there are a lot of them. So, like, please don't rush into buying something that is potentially overpriced. Like, yeah, go careful. Take your time. The power is with the buyer. So just, everybody take a breath. And let's. I just don't want people paying too much for the wrong car, essentially,
Agree.
Yeah. It is not buy now while stocks last. There are plenty.
Agreed. Yeah. You've got, you know, many tens of thousands. It's one of the most popular generations of 911 because it had that 15 years of longevity, which obviously we'll never get that again. So buy wisely, guys. Buy wisely. Cool, right, man.
We're done.
Yeah. Rant over.
Spread the love.
Yeah, spread the love.
I'm jumping in with my spread the love, and I'm keeping it topical. I'm keeping it Irish.
Oh, mate, fantastic.
These are some guys that I don't know, popped up in my Instagram feed on a reel probably 6 months ago, and I just seen a few of their little videos here and there. But I sort of delved a little bit deeper of recently, and the back archive is just nuts, and they're on YouTube with longer form stuff, so not follow them both on YouTube and Instagram, and they're called Evenflow 325. In fact, this week they just released one that had James Dean on it, who's the drift guy. He's a very infamous I think he's partner with Queen Bee.
That's right.
Her partner. He's on one of the episodes, and they're just a bunch of Irish guys that remind me of a group of Irish guys that I met on a rally, but Bangor rally, many years ago, and they were just the party people of the rally, and so much good fun. And they're just doing nutty things in all sorts of crazy cars.
That is exactly the description: nutty things in crazy cars.
Yeah,
I love it, Andy. You
don't try and understand it; just enjoy it. Just enjoy
it. Exactly it, mate.
Yeah. Evenflow 325. Do not try and understand it.
Yeah. Fantastic, mate. Fantastic. I'm so glad you sent us the link to that. Can that be my spread the love as well? Because I want to wholly endorse that. It's just utter madness, and love it, mate. Love it.
And how many people did you meet in Ireland that represented those guys?
Well, I didn't see anybody else donutting a car whilst like holding a chainsaw, but
but the spirit,
if you like, yeah.
But the spirit of fun and yeah, just getting the max out of life.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah. There's something funny enough. One of Laura's family, who's is Irish, and he's got a saying. I think it's worth us all remembering. Really, kind of, I think sums up the Irish way of thinking. He said, "Pressure is for tyres, nothing else."
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So I think we could all do with remembering that from time to time.
Yeah, agreed.
Quality. Max, what about you, mate?
Well, I'll be diverted again for the second time today, and I'll save the one that I was going to do for next week, and I'll go Irish too. and I'm going to recommend one of my favourite YouTube channels that I watch often. It's not a Porsche thing, but it's fascinating. It's an Irish road racer guy, so a motorbike racer called Lee Johnston. And he's a real character. And he took to YouTube a few years ago to document, everything that's involved in getting to and being at and surviving things like the Isle of Man TT and the Northwest 200 and other big international road races. And he races in the British Super Sport Championship as well. So on the mainland, he actually lives in Yorkshire these days. And he's a hell of a character and real fantastic guy. And he blogs a lot on YouTube, and it's great fun, fascinating. And, you know, these are ordinary guys doing extraordinary things, these road racers. And it's a fascinating insight. Ooh. So that's Lee Johnston with a T, not Johnson, Johnston. And yeah, he had a big crash in practice for the Northwest 200 last year, actually smashed himself to bits. So the blogging for the 6 months, the second half of last year, was about, you know, coming back from that.
Yeah.
You know, the challenges physically and mentally of coming back from that, you know, getting back to racing, testing. He's actually just crashed again in testing, I think, and had another injury. But he's coming back to the TT this year, hopefully to the Northwest. It's great stuff. He's a, you know, he's a super character, and he gets some other great characters on there with him as well. So that's worth a look.
Wicked, mate. Yeah. Love the sound of that. Love it. Any other bizzo?
Just a couple of new DNHCS.
Ooh.
First up is Joe Hibbert, who is in Warnham in West Sussex. He is also known as the Tarmac Terrorist on Instagram. He's got a 992 GT3 MR, ooh, a GT4 RS, a GT3 RS, and a Macan GTS. What a nice little collection that
serious
is.
Serious gear, love it.
Indeed. Welcome along. A privateer. And we also have Hugh Dolphin, who is another privateer. And he says, support is overdue on my part, as I've really enjoyed listening to Road to Redline and the Nine Works radio podcast for years and years. He's based in Shrewsbury in Shropshire. And drives various cars, all German with one Japanese. But for this purpose, I'll call upon my 997 Carrera S in Guards Red.
Yeah.
Lovely. That's very kind to you as well. Very kind words. So welcome aboard, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
Hugh's been a very active participant in the WhatsApp group straight away, hasn't he? He's come in and really got stuck in.
He has indeed. Chat,
which is great.
Yeah.
He's up by Henry at Lakeside Classics, isn't he, then, I suppose?
Yeah, can't be far.
That's Henry's neck, ooh, of the woods.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I don't think Joe Hibbert has done his introduction yet. If you get a chance, do introduce yourself, Joe.
Yeah, Joel. Get some pictures, sorry, Joel, on the WhatsApp as well. That's some stuff we need to see.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, some proper metal there. So I just want to sign off by saying, and we'll remind people nearer the time, but as a collective, we're tipping up to Charade Bristol on Sunday the 12th of May. Going to be a cars and coffee from 9 to 11, and then we're doing a live podcast recording with Steve Shaw. He's a friend of the podcast. You'd have heard him on the airwaves before, answering your questions from the audience on all things Porsche body repair, restoration, accident repair, etc. So come on down, get involved. I've asked to just drop us an email, hello@nineworks.co.uk, where you'll get a free ticket to come along. So we're looking forward to meeting our new DNHCers, as well as some old faces on the 12th of May at Charade Bristol.
Good stuff. I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent.
Should be good.
Good.
I think that's it then, gents. We'll sign off, shall we?
Sign off indeed. Lovely to see you both, and good to see the audience all. Imagining we're in front of an audience.
Yeah. Always a pleasure, never a chore, gents.
See you later.
This episode was brought to you by our very kind Driven Not Hidden Collective. If you would like to join the collective to get further access and rewards within the NineWorks community, you can do so at patreon.com/NineWorks. You can also support us by leaving a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app.